Support for The Common comes from the law firm of Davis Malm. Whether you're a private business, a public company, a municipality, a nonprofit, or in-house counsel, their business attorneys help achieve your short and long-term goals. DavisMalm.com, DavisMalm.com.
WBUR Podcasts, Boston.
I'm Darryl C. Murphy, and you're listening to The Common. Boston Globe reporter Tiana Woodard, welcome back.
Hi, it's good to see you. Or wait, not see you, but I guess to hear you again.
Yeah, you know, see in some sense, right? But yes, it's been a little while, Tiana. How you been?
It's been a spring. I feel like it's more of a winter spring, but I'm happy to be here. It's a little warmer to hear you and to be here again. So thank you.
Yes. So, Tiana, you covered a hearing last week for a House bill that aims to improve the ways missing persons investigations for Black women and girls in the state are handled. It would establish an executive office and a community advisory committee for missing and murdered girls in the Black community. And it also calls for an Ebony Alert that will provide notifications to the public specifically for Black women and girls reported missing under unexplained or suspicious circumstances. So can you talk to us about the challenges in finding them and what that looks like in Massachusetts?
In Massachusetts specifically, there's just little to no data for like advocates to work with. So nationally, they say that even though like Black women make up just about 7% of the national population, they make up 1 in 5 missing persons cases. And I'm sure that in Massachusetts that might be similar, but who knows, just because there's little tracking in terms of race on the state level, and even just in terms of tracking missing persons cases at all, there's a big disparity between what's actually on paper and then what's actually out there.
What kind of data are we missing here?
Usually what happens is when a person is reported missing, that you're supposed to report it to your local law enforcement, and then they enter it into this like database that's owned or compiled, or the repository is held by the FBI, but it's only accessible to law enforcement. The only thing that the public can access is like this federal repository called NamUs. But in terms of the state, there's only about 10% of those state cases in Massachusetts that are seen on that federal database. So the public's really only seeing a tenth of what there is at the time. And then as a part of that, who knows if like local law enforcement are inputting all the missing persons cases, because so many Black women and girls, they're not listed as missing. A lot of times it's seen like as, oh, they're running away from a troubled home or from troubled circumstances, or, you know, there was probably just another interpersonal domestic violent dispute. They'll be back. So there's so many layers to this.
How is this House bill addressing this issue? How is it tackling these layers to this issue?
The big thing that stands out is that this bill calls for what they call an Ebony Alert.
Yeah.
So what an Ebony Alert would do, it's kind of similar to, like, I'm sure like all of you guys have heard of the Amber Alert. When a minor that goes missing, there's an alert that the police puts out. You get on your phone, like you're like, oh my God, or your everything like stops. You hear that alert. The only state that has done this or has passed this is California. And how it's set up right now is that whenever a Black person, whether it's a girl, whether it's an adult or a minor, regardless of gender, there's an alert put out by the California Highway Patrol. And kind of the purpose of it is that for police, for media, for the public, it puts them on high alert, just because unfortunately, as we've seen time and time again in terms of media coverage, police support, resources, it really does depend on like the background of the person. So it's like we can't rely on the goodwill of people. So hopefully with an Ebony Alert like this, where this specific alert is put out, that it gets like media, police, and people talking, just because if we rely on the things as they are right now, who knows, we'll probably keep seeing the same like white women syndrome, the same disparities in coverage and support that we've been seeing time and time again.
Tiana, what are supporters saying about the bill that's been proposed in the State House?
Oh my gosh, they're really, really excited about it, because I know some of the advocates that have been at the front of this, I've been speaking to them about this since 2021. So this has just been at the forefront of their lives for such a long time to finally see it happening. And I mean, even if the bill doesn't pass, the fact that there is legislation filed, the fact that there was a legislative briefing, the fact that it's in the news, any attention on this is good attention. I think the big thing is that I know people are like, well, what about other missing people? Like, why do you have to make it about race? But it's one of those things where this benefits everyone. Like, anything like this that's tracking, that's creating data, that's getting to the root causes of why some people are more likely to go missing than others, it helps us with all missing persons cases and helps us have a better response and make sure that this doesn't happen in the first place.
So, Tiana, this feels like a good place to take a break. But when we get back, I want to focus on the current system for missing persons as it is now.
Okay.
Politics has never been stranger or more online, which is why the politics team at Wired is making a new show, Wired Politics Lab. It's all about how to navigate the endless stream of news and information and what to look out for. Each week on the show, we'll dig into far-right platforms, AI chatbots, influencer campaigns, and so much more. Wired Politics Lab launches Thursday, April 11th. Follow the show wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back with Boston Globe reporter Tiana Woodard. So, Tiana, we are talking about the proposed bill in the Massachusetts State House that wants to amend the way the cases for missing Black women and girls are handled here in the state. And I want to zoom out and talk about the missing persons system altogether, because last year you helped co-write a report for the Globe on the state's missing persons system, just how ineffective it is in a sense. I hope that's the right word. Do you know if anything has been done to improve the protocols around missing persons in Massachusetts?
I think one thing that I always think about when I'm asked about this is like just one line in our story that's like, it's not that there's the system doesn't work. It's like that there's no system at all.
There is none. Yeah. Yeah. That was oof.
Yeah. And some of the things that have been done, I know like in our story that we mentioned that about 7 years ago at this point, Charlie Baker's administration had put together a task force that they were like assigned to put together a report of recommendations on how to like deal or fix the missing persons protocol. And some of the things they suggested is that they would require for whenever like a person is put into the database and the like FBIs are like the one that only law enforcement have access to, they also put in the national one that's publicly accessible, so there's no discrepancies between them. They also like recommended that medical examiners like make reports as well, because a lot of them are dealing with like identified remains. They recommended that they create a role of like a missing persons coordinator, just so there's someone like on the state level that's handling specifically that. Even those recommendations were made, there was little follow-up in them. And I know that after our report or our story released, Maura Healey had pledged to create a missing persons unit. That didn't make it into the budget for 2024 because of finance constraints, they said. So who knows what's happened with that. But I know in the meantime, they did say that they've tried to like kind of ramp up their virtual trainings or making sure that law enforcement are up to speed on some of the like newest technological advancements or tools that help with missing persons cases or resolving them. And they said that that's been able to like kind of tick up the amount of missing persons cases in Massachusetts that have been put into the federal database from about 6% to 11%. So a little bit of an increase, but still like not nearly as much as it should be. So the short answer is there's been little effort to change or the like broken system, and it still really relies like in terms of the success of a missing persons case being resolved depends on the law enforcement or the local police force that's assigned to it, and honestly the identity of the person that has gone missing.
It's layered, right? Like first you have the issue that there virtually is no missing persons system within law enforcement to find people. And then that leaves it to the community within a society that devalues Black women and girls.
Exactly. It's like you're set up to fail.
Do you have a sense of why state officials and law enforcement won't do what's necessary to create a robust missing persons system so that they can find more people?
I think it really just seems that these local police forces, they're so spread thin with all the things they're required to do that there's little attention specifically placed on missing persons in particular, and they're just juggling so many tasks, so many responsibilities that missing persons, like, honestly fall through the cracks.
Tiana, did you talk to any law enforcement officials about this to see what they had to say about it?
It seems like that they're just trying to make do with what they have. And one of the biggest pitfalls, I know this said that missing persons cases, is that along with, like, the lack of data and all these things that we've already talked about, one of the big things is that a lot of times missing persons, the loved ones or their families don't reach out soon enough, or they might reach out months after they've gone missing or this or that. But I think that that kind of goes to speak to the general, like, lack of trust that comes with law enforcement, whether it's immigration status, previous, like, criminal records. So,
yeah, because, you know, law enforcement does not have the best relationship with the Black community. We can't forget that part, which further complicates the issue of finding missing Black women and girls. What's the likelihood of the Massachusetts House bill passing?
From what I've seen, the passage seems very hopeful. I think the thing that I'm watching, where they're talking about creating an office, creating positions, which require money, of course, I'm wondering about the follow through with that. I really hope that that happens. I think it's just a matter of, like, okay, once it gets passed, where's the follow through? And will the money actually be allocated towards these things that this bill is hoping to address? Because that's the key of it all.
Man, Tiana, this is a heavy topic, but I do want to say it's always a pleasure talking to you. I appreciate your reporting. I appreciate this story. Thank you so much for coming through to The Common.
Thank you so much for seeing the value in this. I think this is a really a big part of getting these issues solved.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's Boston Globe reporter Tiana Woodard. And that's our show for today. Thank you so much for listening to The Common. If you want to get in touch with us, head on over to Instagram at WBURTheCommon. Send us a message. You can also send us an email at thecommon@wbur.org. I'm Daryl C. Murphy, and I will talk to you tomorrow.